Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you so much for coming out to the youth service at Calvary Baptist Church. As you find your seats there, let me just tell you, remind you of some precious things. Did you know that the Bible says that if you've already trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you already have everlasting life? Did you know that? You already have it. And one day you're going to breathe out your last breath here, and you're going to breathe in the streets of heaven. Isn't that amazing? That's a precious, precious thing, isn't it? Let's set a date today. How about 200 years from today, why don't we gather around the Crystal Sea? Can't promise you I won't want to fish, but let's just gather around and let's say God kept his promise. You want to do that? I love God. One of my favorite things about the Lord is the family he gives us. I'm so grateful for you. You guys are some of the most precious people in all of my life. And the promises that God has made to you are real, and they're steadfast, and they're true. And the Bible says that not only will you have everlasting life one day, the Bible tells you that God is your helper, that God wants to speak to you and guide you, and that when you walk his path, you're going to find the help in your life. And for those of you who are listening by Facebook, or those of you who are here today who've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the great news is you still don't have to pay for your sins. There's still time for you to turn to Jesus Christ and accept his death and resurrection as payment for your sins and get your sins washed away. The crazy thing about my life was I was kind of an atheist as a young person. I didn't believe in God, and I never heard from God. I didn't think about God. He wasn't a part of my way of thinking. But then one day, the Holy Spirit came knocking on my heart and let me know what that preacher said was true, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And the next thing you know, I started hearing from God. The next thing you know, I would do something wrong, and all of a sudden, that never happened before. And today, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you don't have to leave this place today. And I pray you'd consider it. What are you waiting for? It'd be so good for you. Well, today's youth service, and Gracie is going to come up and start our worship service with a song. She's going to sing, "Here I Am to Worship." And one of the things that's precious about Gracie as she finds her way up here is Gracie is a child of a child that grew up at Calvary Children's Home. And she's singing today for Jesus, and that makes my heart sing. John one time said, "I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth." And beyond that, Gracie, on her mother's side, is our music minister's granddaughter. So that's three generations of folks saying Jesus is pretty special. Start us off, Gracie. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
An all-new appreciation and dedication to prayer to Brother Alan Clayton this morning, because this is not an easy job to lead anybody in music. Thank you, Brother Alan, for all your years of doing this. If everybody would stand this morning, we are going to just do three different type choruses. I'm going to do a verse of a song, then we're going to ask y'all to join in and sing the chorus with us a couple times. Then Lily is going to do a chorus on a song, then we're going to do the chorus a few times, then we're going to end up with the chorus of How Great Thou Art. So if y'all would please, please let me hear y'all this morning, it would make me feel much better. And just pray for us this morning. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know my God could solve it. I'd never know what faith in God could do. We all sing with us this morning, through it all. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've learned to trust in God.
for the morning announcements. Please remember the offering will be taken at the end of service. It will be collected at the doors on the way out. Please remember everyone on our prayer list, which is found in our church bulletin, and especially remember the family and friends of Mr. Bob Gladden, who passed away early yesterday morning. Also, continue to pray for Ms. Barbara Anderson, who is right up the road at Powder Springs Transitional Care and Rehab. A visitation sign-up genius has been set up to try and secure daily visits to our dear friend. Please get with Ms. Darlene to get the link and details so you can sign up. Please mark your calendars. 2 weeks from today is homecoming, September the 13th. Brother Snyder Turner will be preaching for us, and there will be lots of singing. We will not be having our traditional homecoming feast, but please make plans to come and enjoy this special day with us. Now, Brother Larry Bennett, will you please pray for us? The children's home in January of 2015, and that summer we attended Teen Revolution, and it was the first ever kind of like Christian youth event I went to, and I got saved on July 30th, 2015, and ever since then I've realized that God has been working in me. And just to hear that song this morning, how great is our God is amazing. He put on this, nobody knew what I was going to speak on today. I was going to speak on how great our God is. And the fact that we just sung those songs is just like, wow, God really does know what we need. And I just recently, I've not been doing my best. I've been really, really nervous because I just recently got hired at a Chick-fil-A. And I've always wanted to work there. And because they always have good Christian examples, and I really haven't been going to God about my problems. And my brother Kevin, he'll be speaking a little bit, he came to me and he's like, you don't need to be nervous, just know that God has you. And just to realize that God is amazing. He has always had us in his hand. Even when we weren't saved, God was looking over us. And once you enter his family, he makes sure nothing happens to you. And no matter how hard life gets, no matter how hard situations can be, God is always there for you. And I've realized that recently. And it has helped me tremendously since I've lived with my brother just for a week. I moved into the older boy's house. And since I've been in that house, I've realized that I've had somebody who's closer to God than I am that really, really helps. And like, when I was in school, one of my friends would challenge me with a Bible verse. Every day, he would say, I want you to read this verse, and I want you to go home, read it, and tell me what you get from it. And then at school the next day, at lunch, we would tell each other what we both got from it, and that helped me a lot. And ever since we've been, you know, in online school, we haven't been able to do that. And it's just those kind of things, the little things that people help you with, is just God working in your life. And when you realize that God works in your life, there's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing that should be able to hold you down. Satan will try and try to get at you, but just pray, because God is always there for you. I've had the hardest times with self-confidence. I thought I was never, ever good enough. And my brother has always told me, just pray, just pray. People tell me, just pray. And really, when you just pray for that strength and that courage, it helps. I remember my brother told me, before you go to bed or whenever you just feel like you don't have any peace, just ask for God's peace. And when you wake up that morning, when I woke up that morning and I asked for that, it felt like there was nothing wrong. I just felt at the calmest I've ever been. And I don't know, I feel like there's somebody here today that needs to get saved. I felt that same way that day I spoke. If you are not saved today, please, please consider, because it was the best thing I ever did. Thank you.
2 Timothy 1:7 through 8 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." The reason I wanted to share this is because I'm about to share something with y'all that I've never shared with anybody before. And God does not give me fear, but he gives me power and love and a sound mind. And therefore, I will not be ashamed of God. So as I stand, I may be in human fear, but I know that God is my strength. Can you see the growing tree, living just to grow? We may see only leaves, but only God can know what this tree will grow to be. It's destined to destroy. It grows in sight of God our King, living life with joy. Through blades of steel, this tree will fail the purpose of its life. The day it fell was the day that tree met Jesus Christ. On that cross, a life was lost, but we were given hope. Our lives were found with his blood on that tree upon a slope. The tree, it cried. Jesus died and wept for 3 days straight. But on the third, that tree had heard the news that was so great. The King is here. Do not fear. Jesus is alive. I stand upon this hill, my friend, with my arms open wide. The blood that stains, that tree remains. The blood that only saves. My soul will sing. Jesus, my King. The name above all names. This tree was made, cut down by blade, the nail still in the wood. Jesus died, but Jesus rose, as only Jesus could. The tree that grew, the tree that knew the hands of Jesus Christ. To you and me, it's just the tree. Through God, he gave it life. He used the wood for only good. He gave his only son. So praise be to God, my King. The only holy one. Thank you.
Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1.
Is my microphone on?
Joshua chapter number 1. Do I got it on now? Okay, great. I'm going to get you rascals. I noticed after the group worship, I coughed and it was still on, so I must have been singing to the mic. And if that makes YouTube, you guys are in big trouble, right? I can't sing a lick. Joshua chapter number 1. I know it's such a familiar passage of Scripture, and I promise you I wouldn't go there if the Lord had not laid it upon my heart to do so. I wouldn't dare do that because some of you guys could quote the passage. While you're finding your places, let me tell you, we got a new young man at the children's home. Where is Oakland at? We normally introduce those folks. Oakland Paget is here today. You guys stand up. Welcome Oakland Paget to the Calvary family. He's a straight up awesome fella. Did you guys know that Kevin wrote that poem? Did you know that? He didn't mention that he wrote that poem, but he brought that to me a few weeks ago and said, I wrote something I want you to read, and I set it aside for about a week, but boy, was I surprised when I opened that bad boy up, you know? That was good stuff. In Joshua chapter number 1, I want to start this morning by giving you a little bit of background, and I want to take a peek into a precious scene in the heroic life of the Bible hero Joshua. I don't know if you could say that 5 times fast, but I want to do that today. Now, I said Joshua had an epic life. And if you know a little bit about his story, there's no denying, sometimes we use the word epic for a skateboard ride. Joshua truly had an epic experience. Joshua, in the Bible, was born a slave in Egypt, you recall. But the Bible says those slaves did something wise. Do you remember what they did? They cried out to the Lord. Friend, if you've got trouble today, cry out to the Lord. They didn't cry out to Muhammad or Buddha. They cried out to the Lord. And God began to do wonders amongst them. He sent Moses, of course, into the land, and the plagues began to fall. And Joshua, no doubt, saw those plagues happen and God's delivery, rescue efforts on his behalf. The Bible says that then they traveled to the Red Sea. Do you recall that as they came to the Red Sea? And they were as dysfunctional as we are. Let me ask you a question. In your family, how does your spouse react when she believes you've taken a wrong turn? How does she react? Does she ever say, well, I'm so glad that you're delaying our journey, you know? No. The Bible says they believed that Moses had taken a wrong turn. And do you remember what they said? They said, were there no graves in Egypt? That was Old Testament trash talk for why didn't you just let us die back there? Why'd you have to go get us killed out here? But the Bible says Moses stretched out that rod. You recall. You remember what he said? It's awesome. He said, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. What's the last line? Do you remember it? And you shall hold your peace. Hush, right? You ever heard? I don't know. Years ago, this song, Trust and Obey. Hush and Obey. I tried that with my wife. It didn't work whatsoever. You know what I mean? Wasn't well received, right? Anyway, so they traveled through. Fast forward the story. Moses died. Who gets chosen to be the new leader? It's Joshua, chosen by God himself to be the new leader. Let me ask you a question. Was it epic? What happened to that river as he crossed it? Do you remember it stood straight up? Who was it that the Bible says the sun stood still for? Who saw the walls of Jericho fall? The Bible says in Joshua chapter number 10 that the enemies of God were escaping Joshua and God threw rocks from heaven. Let me tell you, friend, his life was epic. He held the hand of God. But beyond that, he was a hero because he actually fulfilled the call of God in his life. God had purpose to bring deliverance to the Israelites, to the Jews, and give them a land, and he fulfilled his calling. He held the hand of God, he did what God told him to do, and he actually brought to earth the movement and the ideas of God. Did you know Israel still has that land today? The Jewish people still have that land that Joshua led them into. It's phenomenal what he did. And you and I have the same exact opportunity. Now, I promise you this, you're probably not going to get to see the sun stand still. But if you will hold the hand of God, if you will go beyond worship and actually obey the Lord and do what he tells you to do, can I tell you something, friend? I promise you this to be true on the sure word of the Scriptures. You will hear the voice of God. You will see God working in your life, and you will experience the help of God. And it just might be epic. Can I tell you, as a 22-year-old, I answered the call of God. And you know what one of my first assignments was? God had me raise C.J. Martin. Can you imagine? Let me tell you, Jackson, your daddy was a handful. I don't have time to tell you the story, but ask C.J. about the time I got 20 phone calls from the 911 department because he was dancing around a fire by Lost Mountain Road, right? I mean, epic. Can I just tell you that it's my job at Calvary Children's Home to help teach the kids to drive? Can you say epic, right? I've near died in 20 intersections. God has called me to that. One time, CJ's brother Jeremy, we were driving, we were on a hill, and there was a car behind us, and there was traffic in front of us, and he looks over at me where he's learning to drive a clutch, and he goes, okay, Uncle B, you get the gas, and I'll do the clutch. And literally, I'm over there. I'll never forget that. Pull over, crazy, you know what I mean? Last year, Miss Darlene, all in the call of God, we got to go to see the Noah's Ark in Kentucky, and we got to see Creation Museum. That was epic, epic, epic. But Miss Darlene ended up on a zip line over the Red River Gorge, 200 feet in the air. When she landed, I said, was it fun? She said, no. I just kept saying, I'm sorry, Jesus, I love you. I'm sorry, Jesus, I love you. The call of God is good, and it's fun. Let's dive in. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1, we're going to read the first verse through the ninth verse. And the Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Can I jump in and say it was very gracious of God to say that to Joshua? All the days of your life, no man will be able to stand before thee. There will no man be able to successfully resist thee. Do you guys remember Mike Tyson? Mike Tyson called himself what? The baddest man on the planet. And for a few months, it sure seemed like he was. He mowed through the ranks, if you recall. But do you know who really is the only ever baddest man on the planet declared by God? It is Joshua. Joshua is told in this verse that you are a completely unconquerable man as you walk with me. God had called Joshua to war. It was kind of God to say that to him. Read verse number 6. The Bible says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? Here, read these words. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. It was so gracious of God to say to Joshua, I am going to be with you. Are there more comforting words in all of the English language? God is with you. He said, I'm going to be with you. But did you notice in this passage that God himself told Joshua three separate times, be strong and of good courage? Did you notice that? Three separate times God said to Joshua, this journey I'm taking you on, you have to be strong and have good courage. Why did God say that to Joshua? It's very simple. There was scary stuff on the other side of that Jordan River. Scary stuff. Do you remember what scared him 40 years earlier? Giants in the land! Big Shaquille O'Neal looking fellas, right? Over there waiting to fight. Wow, that's going to be fun. Be strong and of good courage, Joshua. Beyond that, the Bible tells us it uses this word, valiant men were over there. There were valiant giant men over there. Now, make no mistake, God was not taking this from the inhabitants just because he preferred the Israelites. The Bible says these people were wicked, and it was a consequence that they were losing the land, and it was being given to the Jewish people. So put those things together. There are valiant, giant thugs in the land, right? That's going to be a scary fight. Beyond that, there's walled city, at least one we're sure of, and they have no weapons to overcome it. But did you notice the first words that God said to Joshua in this passage? First thing out of God's mouth, it's imperative that you catch it. Moses, my servant, is what? He's dead, right? Why is that significant? Who is Moses? Moses is the man that God called to start this journey. Moses is the man who literally worked wonders among the people of God through the power of God. Moses is the man that was so close to God, at one point his face shined like God's face shines. You remember that story? He had to literally put a veil over his face. Moses was a great triumphant person. Moses was so very close to God. If you want to know how significant Moses is, who buried Moses? What does your Bible say? God himself buried Moses. In the book of Jude, the Bible says that Satan wanted his body. If God buries you and Satan wants you, friend, you are significant. Who was it that visited Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration? It was Elijah and Moses is straight Bible royalty. Moses is straight Bible royalty, but catch this. Moses is also the man that just failed at the task Joshua has just been assigned to do. Let me tell you something, friend. Your heroes are not perfect. Your heroes in Christianity are not perfect. Glean from them what they did correctly, but just because they failed, understand that that makes no difference on God's call on your life. Be strong and of a good courage. And at that juncture, the Bible says that God told him that. What did Joshua do? Did he stumble? Did he retreat from the mission? Or the Bible goes on to say that he moved forward in this juncture. I lost my place. I'm so sorry for that. Young people, let me ask you a question today. What are the challenges in your life? What are the difficulties in your life? Joshua was faced with these scary giants. What are you faced with? Adults, what are you troubled by? What's working backwards in your life? I pull the kids from time to time and I say to the kids, what percentage of the kids at your school don't use curse words? What percentage of the kids do use curse words? Would you like to guess what that percentage is? Always an average of that percentage would be in the 90s. What percentage of your kid, of the boys that you know don't look at pornography? Would you like to guess at that? Way over 50%. What percentage of the girls do you know that are saving themselves from marriage? We live in a very difficult world, but the Bible says that Joshua held the hand of God and he delivered what God told him to do into the people of Israel, and they still have it today. I just want to share with you guys a few principles out of Joshua's life, and my hope is that you and I can find ourselves in this sermon today connecting to the things that Joshua did correctly so that you and I could implement them into our life. Truth number one, and it might be the only one we get to today. Truth number one in our message today is Joshua had a God, you're the boss attitude. Joshua's attitude was, God, you are the boss. You are in charge. Where it came to the decisions of Joshua's life, there was no question at all in his life who was going to be in charge. If you look at chapter number one, God said to Joshua, Joshua, cross over the river. Did God tell Joshua how he was going to get across the river? Read it in your Bible. Did God tell him how he's going to get across the river? No, at this juncture, he has not told him what's going to happen at the river. But Joshua instead said, you know, in 3 days, get victuals ready, prepare, we're going to cross over the river. Can I tell you something about the people of Israel? No doubt there were some non-swimmers in the group. Can you imagine that? They've been wandering through the wilderness. Have you ever thrown a non-swimmer into the water? They hate you instantly, right? It doesn't work well at all, right? Beyond that, the Bible teaches us that the river was actually flooding at this time, correct? The river was overflowing its banks. Beyond that, have you ever seen a video of men who are out in the ocean and crabs begin to nip at their feet? Have you ever seen that? Don't they look like their feet are on fire, right? They go jumping and dancing. There's just something about us that when we bump into something in the water, right? It's very, very unsettling. Joshua crossed the river. He says, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I am going to obey. Braden, can I tell you something? If you can get that fixed in your heart and in your mind now, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know what's going to happen, but I choose to obey. You are in a precious place. You're in a precious place when you don't have the resources, when you don't have the answers, but you say, I'm moving forward and I'm going to obey God. And Joshua found himself in that precious place. Do you remember what happened in chapter number two? In chapter number two, it's important. The Bible says that Joshua began to send spies into the land. How many spies did Moses send? Do you remember? Moses sent 12 spies. How many spies did Joshua send? The Bible says Joshua sent 2 spies. What's the significance of that? Joshua was not interested in what happened in Moses' experience. Moses sent 12 spies into the land, and he let them come back and report to the congregation openly. And that caused great fear amongst the people. But in Joshua's experience, he was not interested in whether are we going to go in or not. He already knew the land flowed with milk and honey. He knew that because he'd already been in it himself. He was just looking for strategy. He was just looking for ideas about how to approach that. And he sent 2 spies, and it didn't matter what they said back to him, they were still going in the land. His attitude of sending 2 spies was, we're going, I just need some information. And because it was, we're obeying no matter what, do you know what happened in his life? When he sent 2 spies, Rahab was able to hide them. 2 spies fit under the flak on top of a roof. 12 spies would not. And Joshua's attitude of obedience opened the door to one of the most beautiful stories in all of the Bible. Do you remember what Rahab did? She laid down that scarlet rope, right? And Rahab was told, you get anybody you can behind that scarlet rope and they will be protected. That scarlet rope is a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. The precious part of that story is the Bible says Rahab got all her people in there. She got all her people. She went and got her Nana. She went and got her Mimi. She went and got her Uncle Bob and Uncle Tom. She got her little bitty nephews. She got her children. She grabbed everybody she could, and she put them behind that scarlet rope, and they were spared from the judgment of God. Do you know how that story came about? Joshua had an attitude to obey. I just need to find some strategy. I'm not interested if we're going. I suggest to you, if those 2 spies came back to Joshua and said, Joshua, they got special forces monkeys over there, Joshua would have said, wonder if God's going to let us keep them. We're going, right? That'd be something to sick your attack orangutan on a burglar, right? You know what I mean? I mean, follow the story. Chapter number 3, do you remember? Time to cross the river. Time to cross the river and cross it the way God told them to. Get the ark, sit it 2,000 cubits ahead. 2,000 cubits is about 3,000 feet, a little more than half a mile. Why would God have told Joshua to put the ark so far ahead? Pastor Justin preached on this. I just touched briefly on it. Understand this. The ark represented the help and the presence of God. So why would God put the ark a half a mile ahead of the people? Wouldn't they be comforted if he put it right next to them? Can I tell you why he did that? Because if the ark had been 5 foot in front of them when they'd been crossing, the people in the front row could have seen the ark. The people in the second row could have seen the ark. But from the third row backwards, the people would not be following the ark. Listen to what I'm saying to you. It's critical. They'd be following the people who were following the people who were following the help of God. And God has called us to have an individual relationship with God. God has said, when you pray, go in your closet. Jesus said it. And pray. And when you pray in secret, the God who sees you in secret will reward you openly. When you fast, don't let anybody know. Let it just be between you and God. Joshua understood. These people need to know, I'm leading, but we're following God, and God is carrying us into this place. Chapter number 4, do you remember what happened? They're through the river. The Bible says God told Joshua, go back in the river. Do you remember that? Now imagine this. Imagine, do you believe the Bible or don't you? Imagine the river is standing straight up. Literally, it has flowed and it has just gone straight up. What do you think they felt like when they crossed over the Jordan River? Do you think there was anybody who crossed it a little hastily? You know what I mean? Anybody who just, I don't think anybody dilly-dallied in the river, right? And I bet when they got across it, they went, whew. Remember, these people saw the Red Sea crushed Pharaoh, right? Some of their adults that were under 20 had lived to see that day. And so when they crossed that, and God said, send 12 guys back into the river. God said, what? Right? They go back in there. Do you remember what he did? He did exactly what he was told. He got those 12 stones. I know it's a lot of Bible, but stay with me. We're going to a precious spot. The Bible says he got those 12 stones and he set them over on the bank as an altar so that they would remember what God did for them. Can you imagine that someone could ever forget what God did for them? Did God put that there just to do it? Or was he sincere that they needed to remember what God did for them? I wonder how often in the land of Israel, just like my life and your life, the difficulties and challenge find our way into our life. I wonder how often in Israel's life they look back to that pile of rocks and said, oh yeah, this was God's idea. Oh yeah, this was God's idea. Can I tell you something, young people? This is so important. If you can ever find yourself on a journey where you remember that this is God's idea, you are in a precious spot. 100 times at that children's home when things were upside down and challenging and I was totally unconvinced that I could do the work. Oh yeah, this was God's idea. When we started that tree lot, oh yeah, God, this was your idea. This is a precious thing. Chapter number 5 is a doozy. We'll stop there. Chapter number 5 is a doozy. I would never preach this except it's in the Bible. The children of Israel are now in the promised land. Joshua has obeyed. He sent them back in. Chapter number 5, nobody could have expected this. God told Joshua, make sharp knives and circumcise the men. I'll be careful, right? I'll be very careful. It's in your Bible, right? Let me just start out by saying this, right? First of all, when God told Joshua to do this, it was because he had asked the Israelites to do this before, but while they traveled through the wilderness, this practice had not continued. And so now they needed to do this. I will go on record as saying, when Joshua heard that from God, he knew that was not going to be well received amongst the men. I'm just going to go on record as saying that, right? He knew that was not going to be well received. And nobody that day was thinking, you know what I'm going to do, right? I mean, it just was not going to be there. But he also knew that that was going to make them very vulnerable. There's another scene in the Bible where a group of folks who've gone through that get attacked, right? And they're going to be weakened in their body. Where are they? Where are they? They've just stepped into the promised land and the thug, giant, valiant men are still out there, right? And the first thing you want me to do, God, is weaken the people? Are you serious? What did Joshua do? Joshua did that. Can I ask you a question? This is something you should remember all the days of your life when it comes to circumcision. Why would God put a sign on the Israelite men that no one would see? Why would God do that? Why would God give a sign to them that nobody else would see? Do you know what I'm convinced of today? God is so great and loving and kind that he wants some things that are just between me and you. That he wants some things. I look back over my life and there's been some challenging things and some real struggles and challenges that God has brought me through. And there are things that I could never explain to you. You wouldn't understand it. I'm not saying I've ever participated in something awful. I'm just saying some deep struggles and challenges. But when God delivered me from it, I know and he knows he's my hero. I know and he knows my hero and you'll never know about it, but it's still just something between me and God. Aren't there things that are just between you and your spouse? Don't you have a pet name that you'd die if somebody else knew? Don't you have something like that? Did Joshua obey God? Did he obey God? He crossed the river. He went back in the river. He circumcised the men. And around the back half of chapter number 5, the Bible says he takes a stroll over to Jericho. And I can tell you this, when he took the stroll over to Jericho, he had an understanding. He had no idea how he was going to conquer that wall. He didn't have a clue how he was going to conquer that wall. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel in your life when you experience things that you don't know how to conquer? How do you feel in your life when you don't know how to conquer something? I can tell you this, when I experience something in my life that I'm called to do, and I don't know how to do it, and I don't have the resources, it creates anxiety in my life. It creates apprehension. I'm not saying that Joshua was scared, but I am saying he didn't have the answers. And he goes walking over to Jericho, and one of the most awesome scenes in the Bible unfolds. It's in chapter number 13 of Joshua, chapter number 5. The Bible says, please get it on the board and look at it with your eyes. It's good, good, good. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Let me ask you a question. You go to your car this afternoon after church, and there's a dude standing there with his sword drawn. What's your reaction going to be? Are you going to go up to him? I submit to you that Joshua is walking in the promise God said to him. No man will be able to stand up to you, because he goes walking right up to him and he says, are you for us or for our adversaries? And you got to know that Joshua thought whatever his answer is, it is going to greatly alter the next 3 minutes of my life, right? If he says he's for us, we're going to find out, is he qualified to join our ranks? If he's against us, we're in a fight, right? Right here outside the walls of Jericho.
But Joshua could never have expected what this man was about to say to him. And the Bible says in verse number 14, watch it, in your Bible, the Bible says, "And he said, Nay." Are you for us or against us? No. Okay. "And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Watch Joshua. "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? What do you want me to do? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." Who has Joshua run into outside the walls of Jericho? God himself has come outside the walls of Jericho. I want you to understand that God did not put chapter and verse in the Bible. Man came in many centuries later and added that. 2 verses later, Joshua chapter number 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord said to him," start walking around that city one day at a time. There's a reason the Bible says that Joshua fell on his face. He was standing in the presence of the Lord. I don't have time to do all the theology about a pre-incarnate Jesus, but just understand God has met Joshua outside the walls of Jericho. And what is Joshua's response? The Bible says straight on his face. Do you know what I love about his response? Right on his face, what do you want me to do? You know what I love about Joshua's response? Joshua is an extremely influential man. The Bible says after Joshua's death, if any leader was alive that knew Joshua, Israel continued to walk with God. Now that's influence. The Bible calls Joshua famous. Did you know that? God made Joshua famous. The Bible says the people feared Joshua. Joshua was a powerful man. It was Joshua's word. God told Joshua, but Joshua told the people, cross the river. Joshua told the people, march around Jericho. Do you remember what Caleb said, the other spy who went in when they were in the land? Caleb was that 80-year-old man, and he said, give me the mountain, that great scene, preachers, you've heard about. He said, give me the mountain. Who was he talking to? He was asking Joshua, please give me the mountain. And the Bible says Joshua gave it to him and blessed him. Joshua was a powerful, powerful man. There was no man in Joshua's world more powerful than him. But when it came to God, on his face, what do you want me to do? And Joshua's attitude was, whatever you tell me to do, I am going to do it. And can I tell you, friend, from in your life and in mine, if you want to experience the help of God and see God's movement in your life and have him demonstrate himself in your life, adopt that attitude. Does God really know best? Young people, who's king in your life? Who determines what movies you can watch? Who determines what video games you can play? Who determines what music you can listen to? Is it your earthly authority? I promise you this, if you'll let it be your heavenly authority, you'll find help and light and purpose in your life. Think about this. How do we engage God in this? As I began to study this, Nolan Jackson, who is Maze Jackson's son, sent me an email, and it was this long. He does these daily beats of the heart, and in it, he said one of the most simple but profound things I have ever heard of. And here's what he said. He said, if Christians would ever learn to quit praying, God bless what I'm doing, and instead would pray, God help me to do what you are blessing, they would see the move of God in their life. God help me to step into that which you've promised you would bless. God is blessing Joshua, but he's literally walking through the progression. God said, be strong and courageous and divide the land. He did that. Be strong and courageous and stick to the book. He did that. Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you. Has the Lord been with Joshua? Oh, yes, God has been with Joshua. How can you and I do that? Husbands, let me ask you a question. How does the Bible tell you you're to treat your wife? The Bible says you're to cherish her and to love her. It doesn't say if she deserves it, right? It doesn't say if you think she deserves it, right? It says you are to cherish her and you are to love her. And if you want the help of God in your marriage, do that very thing that God has told you to do. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes I pray to God, God, how can I love Melita? And he gives me the craziest ideas. But when I do them, she's like, that was awesome. The other day, she's blow drying her hair in the bathroom, right? And I see her crack open the door and she steps out and she goes, it's hot in here. And I was laying in the bed and the fan was blowing on me. And I was like, oh, and it's like the Lord was like, give her the fan. No, right? Oh, I climbed my fat self out of the bed, grabbed the fan, go put it in the door. You know what she said I literally unplug it, pull out, go put it in the doorway. You know what she said? She always says this, my hero. And when she says my hero, hey, 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 you know what I mean? Do these things. How else can we see the help of God in our life? Forgive people. Forgive people. You've been forgiven. The Bible says be kind, tenderhearted. It goes on to say, and forgive those even as for Christ's sake as God has forgiven you. Forgive even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Forgive me for messing that up. But forgive people. Ask the people who have come to understand forgiveness. Are they experiencing the help of God in their forgiveness? Ask them. Tithe. God said give the first tenth. Tithe. The Bible has multiple promises, if you will tithe, about how God will rebuke the devourer. Let me tell you something. When I started tithing at 21 years old, you know who God rebuked? Me. I learned I'm being foolish with my money. It's like he opened my eyes to see some things. I promise you, the Bible says these things are true. Let me tell you something else real quickly. Answer the call of God in your life. If God's called you to be a teacher, start teaching. God will help you. If God's called you to speak, how many folks do you think felt like God told them to sing, but fear kept them from doing it? How many folks do you think God's called to preach, but fear kept them to do it? Let me say this furthermore to you. If God's called you to preach, don't just get up there and preach whatever you want to. Ask God what you ought to be preaching. And he will meet you there and show you what you're supposed to preach. When you teach, ask God what you're supposed to be teaching. Even if you're working through curriculum, say, God, is there something you can highlight in this experience that I can share? And those are the best things. Can I just tell you, I look back over my life and bar none, the best things in our life, I got like 4 minutes, the best things in my life are those things that God told me to do. Those things that God told me to do. I look back over our youth ministry and years ago when God told me to start that tree lot. Oh, it went bad. I don't know if I've ever shared this to you, but in that first year, a fellow walked on that tree lot, and he looked up at me. He goes, you got any $500 Christmas trees? I'll never forget how that felt. I was like, sir, come to find out, they're all $500 today. Would you like one, right? 2 days later, he came back. He said, I neither want to eat another one of those $500 Christmas tree. Same sale, you know. Help yourself. Go out there and get you one. Oh, do you know what's amazing? 18 months after God told me to start that tree lot, God told me to start carrying our kids to a youth conference. 18 months after God told me to start that tree lot, we were going to start carrying our kids to a youth conference. Guess what money paid for that youth conference? Did you hear Robert today say in 2015, I was at a youth conference? Did you hear him say that today? I was at a youth conference, the first one I'd ever been to in my life. I look back over that youth conference and all that it did. Taylor ended up on a mission trip. Jennifer ended up down at Bible college. My kids ended up in Christian school. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Follow the plan of God. Do what God tells you to do. Oh, I wish I had time to tell you some stories, but I'll just say this to you. This past week, I went to Jimmy Harper's funeral. And Jimmy Harper's oldest son is Ricky. And I don't know if you remember his story. He's a country boy. But he began to tell his story about how he got saved. And I don't remember what year it was, but I think he said it was 2002, and he was lost and away from God. He was a wealthy guy. He said, I had a big old house and a big old pool, and he said, I used to hate when my daddy would come down the driveway because Jimmy Harper went to our church. He said, I'd be out there brushing the pool, and my daddy would come down the driveway, and he'd say, oh, here he comes again. He's going to nag me about going to church, and I don't want to go to church. He said, but one Saturday, I was in the Powder Springs area, and he said, I knew Calvary was having work day. The church was having work day. And they were getting ready for something they called Jubilee, right? And he said, I just decided I want to take my daddy to lunch. So I didn't go to the church to start working. I went to take my daddy to lunch. But when I got there, here's what he said. They were pulling wires under that stage. You know what I mean? And he said, before long, his daddy was saying, my knees hurt. Son, why don't you get under that stage and start pulling some wires? He said, and the next thing you know, the men of that church were working. He said, do you know how long we worked that night? He said, we worked till 1 in the morning. Pastor Snyder was there, and he said, Pastor, and you know what I love? I remember you were still there. There was a church really trying hard to put on something special to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a church working really hard to make sure we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, that day I pulled out of that parking lot at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was dog tired, and something hit me. He said, something hit me. You need to go to church tomorrow. He said, I'm not going to church tomorrow. I don't want to go to church. I ain't got no clothes. He said, but I drove right past the Walmart, and he said this. He said, you can ask her. She's sitting right here. God is my witness, he said. 2 o'clock in the morning, I pulled in that Walmart and started looking for church clothes. And guess who I rounded the corner and ran into? There was my wife buying church clothes. And she said, I don't know why, but I think we're supposed to go to church. Long story short, you know what he said happened the next day after church service? You know what happens? I won't say it like he said it, because he said it something like this. I got saved. My wife got saved. My kids got saved. He said we gave our pastor a workout baptizing us. We were like ducks, one right after the other. You know, that boy has pastored churches that support the children's home. We've driven all over the places, being his churches. And I'll never forget one time, Dion, you'll remember this. He was a pastor in a church out down a dirt road, and we drove the bus. The road was so bumpy that we literally ripped a brake line off the bottom of the bus, and we were sitting there on a dirt road, bumpy road. What are we going to do? A bunch of rednecks on four-wheelers pulled up, and the first one goes, boys, I've seen some strange things in these woods, but I ain't never seen something like this, right? You know what I mean? Oh, we ought to do what God told us to do. We ought to do what God told us to do. We ought to follow the Lord. In Joshua's case, his attitude was, God, you're the boss. There's so much that God would like for you to do. You remember what God told Joshua as the musicians come? He said, be strong, I'm with you. He said, be strong, you got a book. You got a book, young people. You got a book you could read. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows me where I'm standing. It tells me where I'm going. And when we go through that book, we can find our way. He said to him, be strong. You've got a purpose. Divide the land. Did Joshua divide the land? Oh, yes, he did. And they still have it today. What's your purpose? The Bible says you're the light of the world, as they find their places here. You're the light of the world. You live in a dark world. Do you know what I love about the power of light? If the worst darkness that anybody could ever experience, I mean, the darkest darkness tried to come into this sanctuary, it could only come as far as the weakest light would allow it. And it couldn't come any further. Literally, it couldn't. Darkness can't overtake the light. But if the weakest light went into that darkest darkness, it would put a little light in that darkness. You could have light in your family. You could have light in your place of business. You have light in your work. You can bring light to this church. Don't you love people who walk with God and the light they bring? The Bible says you're salt. Salt was preservation. Anybody with me that thinks this world needs something to stop the rot? Is there anybody with me in that? That a lot's broke in this world and we need something to stop the rot? Oh, friend, obey God. Will you rise to your feet? Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says Jesus Christ died for you and he paid for your specific sins, literally. And you could put your faith in him today, and that which separates you from God, your sins could be washed away, and you could have God's move and help in your life. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to our pastor. If you'd like to come and pray about what we talked about today, please do. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for these precious people and their patience with me as we walk through these chapters. We thank you for Joshua, who obeyed and obeyed and obeyed. And we thank you for the call in our life to do only good things. God, you only ask us to do good things. Help us, God, to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.